Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the super highway of free speech. You get on there, put it into high gear overdrive, as we used to say, and you just exceed the speed limit of free speech. And that's what we're doing here. But you do get tickets every now and then. So help RBN pay those free speech speeding tickets. Send a donation. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions, make sure you get it to us. There's a variety of ways you can do that. And also go to nationalbugle.com, peruse the articles, download the totally awesome co-certified app. Make sure that your Christmas turkey is non-kosher certified, or your Christmas ham, even better yet. Okay, today we have with us Paul Stevenson, who has the excellent Sunday night show on RBN. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, Patrick. Great to be with you, as always.
Well, thank you for coming. And you're over on the other side of the pond, and you're, you know, I don't know if Englishmen or Irishmen consider themselves part of Europe or not, or if it's the continent or what, but looking over the English Channel to the continent, a lot of bad stuff is going on. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, they're really tightening the screw now over there. Obviously, I think the last time we spoke was Austria, the situation there where they're really tightening things up, and they've announced that vaccines will be mandatory, and I think that's due to be mandatory in February. And you know, there's been people, you know, who've done YouTube videos of the situation over there, and the police are out there and stopping people and asking them for their vaccine IDs and everything else, entering shops and even stopping cars, doing patrols like that. And Germany are very much moving that direction. This is from the Times. Germany moved towards mandatory vaccination and tightens COVID curbs. Germany has tightened curbs on unvaccinated people and paved the way for mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations next year as it ramps up pressure on those refusing the jab. The country has hit its highest level of COVID infections since the pandemic began, putting unprecedented strains on hospitals. Angela Merkel says the fourth wave must be broken. The situation is very serious. The number of infections has stabilized, but far too high a level. And it says Angela Merkel and Chancellor designate Olaf Scholz announced the measures after a hastily scheduled meeting with the leaders of Germany's 16 states. So Germany's heading very much that way as well. Of course, you know, the fingers are being increasingly pointed at, and the pressure has been mounting on those who are not getting vaccinated, and that kind of, you know, increased pressure and coercion is what we're seeing generally across Europe. I think in Italy you can't do anything without a jab. It's got to the point where I don't even think you're allowed to work unless you're vaccinated. Which is disappointing in Italy, but you know, it's even disappointing, I think, in Hungary. They're very, very serious about it as well. So you know, in Hungary, you've sort of had a little bit of an oasis there in Europe when it comes to independence and you know, pushback against the communist dictatorship of the EU, which is what it is. You know, you can put lipstick in that pig, but that's still a pig, and. You know, so that's the trend across Europe.
I keep saying it's, this isn't communism. This is something new and worse. Not to defend communism,
well,
but it's bad.
Yeah. Well, it maybe simplifies it a little bit, but yeah, you're probably right. But it's still, let's just say there's a lot of the, and again, I know you're not going to probably like it, but there's a lot of neo-Marxist sort of threads running through it. It is dictatorial. It's very, very bureaucratic. It's unelected. It's authoritarian. It's not exactly the old Soviet Union, let's say. It's more sophisticated. It's better funded.
Yeah, just but, in the back of my head, I keep hearing Karl Marx saying, "Don't blame this stuff on me." this is young people doing it. You know, like, don't blame Mark Zuckerberg and these people. Don't blame them on me. But whatever. I'm not trying to defend Karl Marx or communism or anything.
No, I know you're not. I know. No. It is hard to, exactly pinpoint a lot of these things, you know. It's like, you know, even when you look at the system just generally across Western nations, you know, it's in classic definitions, you could define it as fascism in some ways, but it's not exactly fascism.
But not the good, not the good kind of fascism. Not in the good sense.
Exactly. No, exactly. So, I mean, a lot of these, it is difficult sometimes to get into the definitions. But let's just say it's a hostile dictatorship, sort of supernatural kind of international sort of body, which doesn't have the best interests of those nations as its motivations.
Well, there's the term totalitarianism, which was basically invented in order to throw communism and fascism into the same category. But it's not really defined by those, communism or fascism. It's defined as, you know, basically total government control. And the way I think of it is not even just government control, but establishment control, because, you know, Facebook and YouTube and a lot of these corporations are just as much part of the establishment as the government. And they have... they are doing an awful lot of the work that once was associated with the government, like surveilling people. We are getting into total control, the control to the point that in a way that nobody could even have imagined before. Even Orwell wasn't imagining the level of surveillance and control that we seem to be on the cusp of. Right. I mean, and throwing.
Absolutely,
Slovenia, doesn't Slovenia now prohibit, it require the vaccine mandate in order to get gasoline, petrol.
I couldn't say exactly whether that's the case, but Slovenia is really bad as well. That was actually one of the first countries to, you know, that fell under this hellish kind of dictat. But the EU itself has come out and, you know, and announced that they will be looking at, you know, making vaccines mandatory. Again, Austria is already heading down that path, and now Germany is heading down that path. Italy, again, from listening to someone earlier, they have, there's precious little you can do now in Italy without having a vaccine. So it's a complete nightmare. One of the more irritating comparisons and sort of rhetoric that has become very common and has picked up ground recently, and you'll enjoy this one,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, especially because, of course, this is the first, you know, a lot of the spotlight has been on Austria and now Germany, has been, of course, you know, and this is obviously horrendous, and, you know, especially that, you know, it's been less than a century since we've experienced the horrors of when a nation attempts to point the finger and scapegoat a small group of innocent people for their problems. We've seen the horrors of this before. So in other words, you and me, Patrick, are the neo-Jews in Austria and Germany. The unvaxxed are basically, we're exactly the same as the Jews in Germany, is the comparison.
Okay, well then,
now, because we're being
if that's the case, shalom, Paul, shalom.
Yeah, so I the only thing is, Patrick, I'm not really sure if you and I sort of yield the same kind of power as Jews did at that time, and I'm not really sure that 60 years from now that the unvaxxed will have the same kind of power and influence over the Crown Prosecution Service, for example, in the UK, which they do, and can result if you're sending distasteful tweets about Jews, if you're a football fan, that can result in you being in prison for 8 years. But nonetheless, the comparison is often made now that we have seen the horrors when a small group of innocent people are used as a scapegoat, and the finger is pointed at those people for the woes of the wider nation. Now,
so when did that ever happen?
It is.
When did that ever happen?
That this happened in Austria and Germany in the 1930s and 1940s Germany.
Apparently. You don't say.
Yeah,
I never heard of that.
No, okay. It was news. I must do some research on that because it was news to me that this has happened within a century. And as I say, I didn't realize. I mean, if this is the trend, I'm not that worried because it means that if we get organized, we are going to have some tremendous power in a few years' time.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, do y'all have these TV commercials?
Every cloud, eh?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Do you have these TV commercials, especially at night, where you know they're selling you something? It's so great. But wait, there's more. And actually, I feel that's where we are right now, because people think that the vax is the end of the world. No, I don't think so. But wait, there's more. I think the end of the world is it's coming. The vax isn't it, but yeah. And you know, I don't remember my London Underground train map very well. I know there's a Jubilee line. I know there's Waterloo Station, but it's like you're going down the line, there's station, and the vax is bad, but it's not the end of the line yet. There's more. Just wait. And I do feel though that you know what they're establishing is a police state, a totalitarian police state, the likes of which nobody had ever even imagined before. And, you know, they're putting in all of these structures, this police state infrastructure, in the name of combating the virus, right? And so, you know, are they using QR codes on phones for these vaccine passports to get your petrol and your groceries and whatnot? Is that what they're using? Because, you know, at any rate, they're establishing these systems, this infrastructure, and right now it is based on your compliance for the vaccines. But this is never going to stop, and it's going to be based on your compliance for all sorts of other things. You know, have you done your Black Lives Matter community service yet? You know, have you done your global warming whatever? Have you paid your global warming tax? Have you paid your reparations? All sorts of things. It could be used for anything. They're building a totalitarian police state of surveillance and compliance, backed by all the high tech that we have, and we carry this stuff around with us in our pocket. You know, there's the cell phone, but there's also the Internet of Things, and we are close to what I think is a point of no return, where if they get enough of this infrastructure going, that we will no longer have the ability to organize and resist, because any organization would be detected and smushed out before it could go anywhere. There, I do think there is a point of no return, and I don't think we're all that far from it. And that's why I've been kind of sounding the alarm like Chicken Little, running around saying the sky is falling, but I really do think it's falling. What do you think of that? Am I too paranoid or what?
I wish you were. I wish you were exaggerating. I mean, there has been observed a very, very dark, menacing cloud in the distance for Europeans now since the start of all this. And unfortunately, the skies have opened on Europe, and we are now looking across the channel at this cloud, praying that somehow between there and the English Channel will somehow prevent this monstrosity from coming here. But just to the point you made, let me just hazard a guess. I wouldn't call myself a prophet, Patrick, but let's just say they get their way with this, these vaccine passports. What do you think the chances are of a year from now, when they've had their way and they've had sufficient numbers and they've made the lives of those few people who've held out and not taken the vaccine, and they've made those people's lives a misery, and they're happy with the numbers they have, and they're no longer threatened by those who haven't taken the vaccine and had their little passports. What do you think the chances are that a year down the line, or 18 months down the line from now, suddenly these viruses are going to stop? Suddenly you're not going to hear about them in the media anymore. Suddenly the variants are going to stop, and the vaccines have worked successfully, and we can all go about our lives now. And then, as you said, the passports, the vaccine passports, will conveniently and inevitably merge into some other usage, which will, vaccines and our memories will gradually dissipate, and we'll be showing our papers and our little codes on our phones for all sorts of things, you know.
I'd say it's a
because that's what it is. Yeah, it's a pretty
it's a 0% chance.
It's a precursor to digital ID.
Chance that it's ever going to go away unless we make it go away, and I think even 0% is overly optimistic.
Yeah, and that I mean they don't even hide it. They basically say this is the way that you're going to get back to normal, and the pressure and the finger pointing and the blame has been laid at the feet of the unvaxxed. They're like, if you're frustrated, well, then you know who to blame. If you want things back to normal, if you want things to be, you know, if you want to be able to do things the way you used to be able to do them, then get your vax, get your vaccine passports. And there's a little crowd over here which are arrogant and selfish enough, which are holding the whole world back. It's not just like one country suffering. It's just like the whole world's going through this hellish nightmare, you know?
Yeah. But some countries are worse than others. And okay, so this Omicron variant supposedly has its origin in South Africa. And South Africa has black majority rule, but they do have whites in the bureaucracy and whatnot. I don't know how much they're cracking down. But, you know, these places in – most of the places in Africa, if you're talking about Mozambique or Cameroon or Tanzania, they don't have the government capacity to implement – quarantining and whatnot. I mean, these are pretty much lawless countries, and the government just doesn't have capacity to do things. These countries are probably going to be the least affected by the the virus itself really isn't serious. What's serious is the response to the virus, and they don't have the capacity to make responses. So they're not going to be as adversely impacted as Europeans and Australians and Canadians and ultimately Americans. And the Orientals seem to be somewhat confused about it, but they're not going to quite the same extent. I really do think that the Oriental countries, Japan, Korea, China, are confused, because I think at least I don't know about the Chinese, but probably them too, but the Japanese politicians, and the bureaucrats, I think that, you know, they have been emulating Western countries, United States in particular, but before that, I mean, Japan copied a lot off of Britain in late 1800s, early 1900s. They drive on the left side of the road, for instance. They've been emulating foreign countries, and they've done quite well at it. And so, when they see what the foreign countries are doing, these Western countries are doing in terms of combating the virus, and of course their media. The media in Japan, very few people really speak English very well, so they're not going out and doing any original research. They're just reporting what they translate from CNN, and they don't know what the heck's going on. I really think that the level of understanding about what's going on, and I don't think very many people high up in these governments understand that the ruling classes, the ruling establishment in Western countries is as hostile to the population as we truly are. I don't think they understand that. And so I think there is a certain amount of imitation, because I don't think they can truly comprehend what the Western governments are up to in terms of abusing their own population. I don't know. I'm throwing that out there. Maybe I'm being naive, but my experience talking to elites from Oriental countries leads me to believe this, that they really don't understand fully what's going on here.
Yeah, they're probably looking across. I don't know what the Japanese is, for WTF is, but that's probably what's going through a lot of their minds. And they haven't really gotten up to speed that the Britain that they emulated and took some influence from is no more. So I agree with you. I don't think they really understand the hostility and the fact that that's called the West.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Yeah, they're probably looking across. I don't know what the Japanese is, you know, for WTF is, but that's probably what's going through a lot of their minds. And they haven't really gotten up to speed that the Britain that they emulated and took some influence from is no more. So I agree. I don't think they really understand the hostility and the fact that we've got a fifth column over in the West pulling the strings. But you know, you mentioned Africa there. I mean, this Omicron or Omicon, as I call it, when this first emerged, the South African doctor in Johannesburg, Dr. Angelique Kowetsi, you know, she and others have said that the symptoms are very different from the Delta variant and are very mild. And yet, I mean, where we've gotten to now, I mean, you're literally watching MSM go into gear, and you've got Boris Johnson having Cobra meetings, and he, you know, brings out his Chris Whitty, who's the equivalent of Fauci over here, and they have these press conferences, and, you know, they're having these press conferences after 11 cases. I mean, is it? And you're looking on, you're thinking, 11 cases out of a population of what, nearly 70 million, for a variant that we know virtually little and nothing about, but from reports that have come out of Africa that the symptoms are very mild, and it's a complete con job with these vaccines in terms of there's a lot of people getting very rich off these things. I mean, Boris Johnson has now ordered an initial 17 million new vaccines, presumably, I think these are booster jabs, another booster, at a cost of £15 a jab. I did the math on that. That's nearly £2 billion. For what? You know,
For a vaccine that a huge, even if it's a significant minority in this country, don't want, we don't need, and we've no data on this thing. We've already had two other vaccines, and which have very sort of diminishing efficacy after, you know, weeks and months. And you're thinking, don't you know a concept of inflation? When you're going to just, you know, pull $2 billion out of thin air, prices are already going up. It's like I looked at the petrol pump earlier. The cost is like £1.47 or £1.48 for a liter of unleaded petrol, and you can see the prices going up in the stores. And you're thinking, well, you're broke. The country's broke, and you're spending $2 billion on that. I mean, it's just absolute insanity what's going on, and you can be guaranteed a lot of people are getting rich. That, you know, out of that $2 billion, you know, God knows what sort of corruption and how much of that is going to end up in the hands of bureaucrats and administration officials at the NHS, which is a bottomless pit abomination. And it's just gaga. It's just an insane word all the time. And I mean, I still think that there is hope that we won't follow Europe. You know, I'm not sure I can see this. The anti-World War II, the anti-authoritarian Nazi rhetoric has been so effective in this country. You know, this country has such solidarity with the Jewish community that a bad word cannot be said. When you have a young man sending tweets, like I mentioned, and the Crown Prosecution Service sent him to prison for 8 weeks, no one is outraged by this. This is not making GB news. You're not hearing Nigel Farage talk about this. You're not talking about any of the moderate sort of centrist and centre-right in the mainstream media having eyebrows raised, wondering, how is this kid with no criminal record going to prison for this? Because that's too dangerous. And that goes against the narrative that Jews have a tremendous amount of power, including in our judicial system, that so much pressure can be brought to bear to throw a 21-year-old into prison with no criminal record, who's got a job, who lives at home, for sending, at worst, distasteful tweets about the Holocaust when he's mocking some other Tottenham Hotspur fans, and find himself in prison for 8 weeks. And you wonder why I get nervous over here when we talk about this issue. But nonetheless, there is such a kind of solidarity that is sort of linked. You know, Jews are kind of almost considered like our soldiers who went and fought in World War II and defeated Germany, right, in this, right, country. It's almost like that. They're so tied up with it. It's so, you know, integrated into the narrative, has been pushed so aggressively, that this kind of authoritarianism being compared to Nazi Germany, it has caused a lot of, you know, reaction and abhorrence that I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull that off here, you know?
And, yeah, I mean, it's here, too. That's the same level of brainwashing. And I was talking recently to a 92-year-old lady, and she's a German-American, and yet she's been just so indoctrinated as to the evils of Nazi Germany and, you know, solidarity with the Jews, which I'm trying to red pill her, you know, and I figured 92, but better late than never. And so when we're talking about what's going on here in the United States, she keeps saying, it's Nazi Germany. It's Nazi Germany. And of course, you know, it's not Nazi Germany. The Nazi Germany wasn't enforcing vaccines on people. And what I say is, I said, well, no, it's worse. It's worse. But, you know, we're in this dark place. I don't think it's too late. I don't think we're at that point of no return now. But I've been talking about the point of no return recently, today in particular, yesterday. I'm talking about it because, you know, there's always been a school of thought amongst, you know, people who listen to RBN and call in. There's always been a school of thought of accelerationism.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Talking about it because, you know, there's always been a school of thought amongst, you know, people who listen to RBN and call in. There's always been a school of thought of accelerationism. You know, if things get worse, that's better. There will be a collapse and we'll pick up the pieces. And I'm saying I don't be so sure about that, because as long as they can maintain their infrastructure of surveillance and control. And that, you know, it does require cell phone towers and internet and things like that, but does not necessarily include food production, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily control, you know, you could have a collapse of food production, a collapse of distribution of consumer goods and even gasoline, but without the police state infrastructure crumbling. And so I'm saying there is a, you know, things get worse, people wake up, but if people wake up too late and it's on the other side of the point of no return, then it's futile. That's kind of the message I'm trying to get out. I don't want to sound alarmist, but I do see optimistic reasons to be optimistic. You know, there are people waking up. Large numbers of regular normie people are waking up at least enough to know that, you know, they do keep saying, oh, this is communism or this is Nazi Germany. And that, even if I believe it's an inaccurate comparison, it is an indication that they understand the severity of the problem. And that is good movement. And you do, you know, you've had the whole pushback at school board meetings. So I do think things can happen, but they're not necessarily going to happen. And we have to make it happen soon. And of course, I am also, you know, I look at and maybe you can update us on this if you have recent information. A lot of movement, a lot of mass demonstrations in various places in Europe and Australia and some other places. Do you have any updated information on the resistance to this massive power grab, this mother of all crackdowns?
Well, it's ongoing, and of course, part of the tactics in the propaganda is to suppress information about that, and to create a narrative like our polls over here. They call YouGov polls. There's a recent YouGov poll come out, which is supposed to be some sort of, you know, objective poll where it's a government backed poll to sort of measure the public mood. And this poll apparently said that, you know, an overwhelming majority of people support vaccines and vaccine passports, and this is nonsense. I mean, the questions are loaded. It's a government-backed poll, and I don't think it reflects reality at all. But it's part of the demoralizing narrative for those who are not vaxxed to think, oh, you know, I'm on my own here. You know, I mean, this is happening. You know, I this is going to be a nightmare, and everybody's on board with it. But the reality is, there is a lot of pushback against it. And that's happening in Europe as well. And they are becoming more authoritarian in Europe regardless. And they are attempting to, you know, impose their will regardless. Whereas over here, not as bad. They have to at least try and do it a bit more gradually. They sort of push a little bit and then they back off. And then they'll push again and then they back off. Because, as I say, we have this, partly, I believe, because of the constant, anti-Germany narrative, and that our identity is all tied up with World War II and all of that we cannot allow this authoritarian system. Also, you've had a lot of people who've been very compliant and obedient and went along with it, which I disagreed from at the start. To me, the damage was done right at the start, and I shouted it from the rooftops to everybody to listen at the time, who anybody would listen, that it's not going to be 3 weeks to flatten the curve and to protect the NHS from being overwhelmed. And I said it to my church as well. I said, keep your church open. Don't go along with it. Don't be good little boys, because that's the inch that you're given, and they will take a mile and more. But everybody did go along with it. In fact, Nigel Farage and all these clowns on these center-right sort of news channels that I spoke about, they all went along with it at the start too. And they should have pushed back, because if you push back when you're in a position of strength, you're in a stronger position, and they are in a weaker position, but you've given up that ground then. And then once you've given up that ground, it's a mightily hard to regain it. But anyway, that's water under the bridge now. But there are a lot of people who were obedient, went along with it, have taken two jabs, done everything, and those people, there's at least a significant minority of those people who have had enough, who've thought, oh, now I have to take a third jab, and maybe a fourth jab, and now I have to wear a mask again, and now I'm thrown under the bus with those, now I'm in the category of those rebellious little conspiracy theorists, anti-vaxxers, and I don't have my vaccine passport status unless I get a booster jab. And so a lot of those people are angry and disillusioned and feel that the government's lied to them and misled them and moved the goalposts, and that they're forever going to be having to take these booster shots, which they're right, they will, until they establish their authority the way they want to. As I say, eventually, if everyone's good little boys and girls, these variants will go away, and these passports will be used for all manner of other things. But there is that resistance, is the point. There is that awareness that something is very wrong. And a lot of people, as I say, who have been obedient and done everything the government have asked them so far, are not going to be complying any further. And I still think they're going to have a real struggle in this country compared to Europe, because Britain is, even though we would consider ourselves Europeans, we are different. You know, there is something different about these little islands compared to the rest of Europe, in terms of freedom and liberty, that Europe doesn't quite have. I don't know whether it's more of a compliance thing, but at the same time, there is a lot of resistance in Germany and Austria as well. But it's been silenced, and it's been squashed. But I still hold out some hope that the genie's out of the bottle here, and that people are wise to it, and they're not going to put up with it. But we'll see.
Right. And, you know, I do think we're at crunch time. And, you know, I've spent so much of my efforts over the past several years trying to get people to understand Jewish power and the role of Jewish power in everything that's going on. Now, when we're looking at, when I say it's crunch time and we're near the point of no return and we've got to resist, it doesn't follow that people necessarily have to wake up and understand the role of Jewish power in all this in order to ultimately, if we want to get to a place where we really want to be, people have to understand Jewish power and the role of it, because we're still under Jewish tyranny. We were under Jewish tyranny before the corona apocalypse. We're under Jewish tyranny now. But and if we were to overthrow the corona apocalypse regime, we're not. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be free again. It doesn't necessarily mean that we won't have an invasion of aliens, outsiders, to take over our country, to outbreed us. But this near-term objective of blocking the implementation of a totalitarian police state, it doesn't necessarily require people to understand Jewish power. It does, though. It does require that people not get led astray into other retarded notions. I mean, Andrew Anglin has published two articles over the past couple of days with dozens and dozens of bullet points of problems that we have that are that were caused by Jews and not by Chinamen. And, you know, this is like, as we try to free ourselves, there will be those who are going to say, and there are in the United States people who are trying to blame everything on China. And Tucker Carlson last night saying that, you know, this is a Chinese virus. And you've got Matt Gaetz, a Republican congressman, who is trying to get China to pay $5 trillion in reparations. So you've got this kind of stuff going on. So, like, just to reiterate.
Yeah, same way, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to – people don't necessarily have to understand Jewish power or exactly how this happened. Whether, you know, they don't necessarily have to understand whether this was a man-made virus or a complete hoax or what. But we do have to stop the block the implementation of this police state. But also we have to make sure that we are not redirected into something else horrible like World War III.
Well, that is the immediacy, as you say, of holding the line when it comes to these vaccines and vaccine passports. And by the way, you mentioned China, Tucker Carlson, some of these other talking heads. No doubt, you know, I haven't listened to him because he's a scumbag, but I'm sure the likes of Sean Hannity will be pushing the same narrative. Nigel Farage did a recent interview with Donald Trump. I haven't listened to that either. I'm not interested, but I can guarantee you at some point there will be a discussion about China. Farage is constantly preoccupied by China. And Trump is not a fan of China either. I'm sure those bullet points that your friend wrote out, that would be a very long list. There would be a very, you know, a low number of problems that I could attribute to my life and what's happened in the West in the last 50 years and is happening to the Chinese, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right, to the Chinese, or to the Russians, or to the North Koreans, or the Iranians.
Exactly.
And here's one other thing. Because, you know, there are a lot of analysts and I'm somebody with an international relations background. It's the type of thing that normally I'd really be paying even more attention to, but there's so little time in the day and so many crises going on. But you do have a lot of serious people who are warning, and I guess the Russian Foreign Ministry among them, warning how close we are to a major, major conflict. Now, a nuclear war, a World War III that actually goes nuclear and goes all out the way World War I and World War II were, these all-out wars, that, with our 21st century technology, would pretty much spell the end of civilization as we know it. If, and of course these other two world wars, they went all out. But if you had some sort of more limited war, and you haven't had a limited war between major powers in the past century, as far as I can tell. Maybe border skirmishes between the Soviet Union and China. You might have had like really minor stuff, but an actual war, something going beyond the border skirmish, an actual war that doesn't go all out. That hasn't happened, but maybe some people are willing to risk that they could get away with a minor war. I mean, if you read the history of the Japanese decision to attack Pearl Harbor, they were gambling that the United States would not go into an all-out war against them, that they would accept the tactical defeat. If there was a war, obviously, I don't want a war because of the very strong probability that it would be a civilization-ending World War III. But if there was a war, and it didn't go all out, and it was limited, I would certainly hope that the United States and NATO would lose. I would certainly hope that the Russians and the Chinese would win. And I'm stating that right off the bat, right out in front. It's not treason for me to say this yet, because the war hasn't happened. It's not illegal for me to say this, but I'm just... Maybe I shouldn't be saying I hope, but I'm just saying it would be better for civilization and better for our people if the United States and NATO lost, because they are the biggest threat. They are the existential threat to our people. Is that okay? Can I say that?
I agree. The only thing I would disagree with, if we put in quotes, mm-hmm. Or wouldn't be absolutely certain about, is I'm not sure that if this war happens. And I did say right at the start of this that there was three things that this whole coronavirus would lead to, and that would be an eradication of our freedoms and an encroaching threat from a police state. The other thing would be for a financial reset, and for the acceleration of the money printing, and a smokescreen for acceleration of the money printing, which would result in a wealth transfer. And that's happened already. Mm-hmm. No one really mm-hmm. talks about it, but it has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the third thing would be a war with China, because with the increase of money printing and the amount of the deficits and the debt that China's holding, that we wouldn't be able to make good on it, but you know, in terms of what we could pay them, but that we could basically be like the bully in the playground who would turn up and say, "Yeah, I owe you that money. Thanks for all that stuff you've been giving me over the last 30 years. But I haven't got your money. What are you going to do about it? Because we've got mm-hmm. bigger bombs and bigger airplanes than you have. So what are you going to do about it, Chinaman?" But I actually think that World War III won't be a nuclear war. I think it'll be played out as a biological war, and with little geeky guys in basements somewhere with computers causing all sorts of havoc back and forth to each side. I think the Chinese can look on and look at the damage that has happened in the West as a result of a silly little virus that really is a threat to old people and people with pre-existing conditions. Put in brackets, let's say, just for any of our listeners who get exasperated and get, let me say, unnecessarily and from my point of view, exasperated by their preoccupation that there is no virus and going into all sorts of biology and rabbit holes that I think are a waste of time. But let's just say that It is a complete creation, and there is no virus, and it is just a complete media hype. And that is possible, by the way, because it's a very nebulous area. You know, have you seen a coronavirus, Patrick? Would you know it if you walk past it? You know, they could have pulled this off without anything. But I'm just saying that the point is that let's just accept. I've always proceeded from the premise that there's something there. There's a virus there, but it's not a huge threat to anybody, unless you're old and of pre-existing conditions. But the Chinese can look and see what the havoc that caused. And if they were able to produce a real virus of which could cause real destruction, that would be a better a better method of warfare, along with cyber warfare, than you know, letting off big huge nuclear weapons, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It very well could be. And you know, they could have done an entire hoax without a new virus. Although, I mean, aside from other reasons, other evidence, the thing is there are viruses and pathogens that are floating around, and new ones are always coming along. And I just think, why wouldn't you just attach your agenda onto one of these new pathogens that comes around all the time? But anyway, that's really not – it's not the main thing. It's not the main thing. And we don't have to determine where this came from or what it is in order to resist the police state that they're establishing. And we shouldn't get bogged down in arguments about it, because that's not the main thing. The virus is not a threat, whether it, even if it exists, even if it doesn't exist – It's not a particular threat. It's not an existential health crisis. And even the vaccines, now the vaccines, they may well be doing all sorts of weird experiments. All the batches may not be the same. You know, they might be doing all sorts of weird experiments. But even then, like everybody hasn't dropped dead. And just because everybody doesn't drop dead, and maybe just because the vaccines aren't going to necessarily sterilize everybody, who knows? But even if the vaccines turn out really not...
He always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Blackadder, his taste is rather odd.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Like everybody hasn't dropped dead, and just because everybody doesn't drop dead, and maybe just because the vaccines aren't going to necessarily sterilize everybody, who knows? But even if the vaccines turn out really not to be as harmful as a lot of people fear, the fact is that's not the end game. The end game is the establishment of this total control, totalitarian police state, and they're well on their way.
Yeah, that is the end goal, and that is what should concern us. Yeah, a system of total control. And that's what people should be focused on, because all these other... I was on a show recently, and can't remember. I've done a lot of like shows and stuff, but
a lot of people getting into this whole, and some people get very angry about it, about, you know, whether there's a virus or not, and this biology and that biology. And now the reality is, when you start getting into biology, that's above my pay grade. You know, you better talk to someone who's got some sort of qualifications in that area, because I'm not a virologist, and I'm not a biologist, and I haven't got the time.
And very few people are.
Exactly.
That's not how we're going to convince people that we've got to, that this is never going to end unless we stop it.
Yeah, well, we discussed this before. It's like the, you know, analogy of people starting to get all angry and, you know, and head up about, you know, whether there was actually airplanes hit the Twin Tower, like it really matters.
That's not the main thing. So, okay, well, we are just about at the end of our time. Do you have any final thoughts? I know it goes by fast, doesn't it?
Well, just final thoughts are just keep focused on, you know, holding the line with this thing, and don't be intimidated. Don't buy into the propaganda that, you know, you're on your own. There's only that guy Stevenson and Slattery and about a dozen others who haven't had their vaccines. You know, there's a lot of people who haven't had their vaccines. There's a lot of people who are pushing back against it, and just, you know, don't let it happen. In fact, George Orwell's last words were something like that. You know, his advice was, don't allow it to happen. Something as simple as that, you know.
Right. And Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. And I would add to that, it's easier to convince somebody they've been fooled than to get them to admit they've been fooled. But that's what we need. So we have to push back, not just at the government and the authorities. We have to push back at all these people who initially bought into it and are going to have to admit that they were wrong. And that's tough, but we've got to help them there. But thank you so much for joining me again, Paul. And everybody, tune in to Paul on Sunday night. Is it 10 p.m. Central?
It's 9 p.m. Central. And that's 10 p.m. Eastern time. And also, just to plug, I do have a new Odyssey channel for anyone who's up to speed with new sort of channels and social media platforms. Because Odyssey is not—it's not as easy to censor and to aggressively, you know, censor that like it is with YouTube. My Odyssey channel is just Paul Edward Stevenson. So go on there. In fact, I just uploaded a recent interview that we did, Patrick, up to that channel. So anybody who's listening who doesn't yet have Odyssey, go and open up an Odyssey channel. Take you 5 minutes, and you can go there. And there's going to be lots of content on there. I'm going to have lots of different people on there, and so you can go there and subscribe. And it's just Paul Edward Stevenson on Odyssey.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll be back again tomorrow or next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me,
sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The truth.